If you would go back there, I want to finish up a thought in Proverbs chapter 4 about our thought life. As I have studied this particular subject, and I don't want this to sound any other way than the way I mean it to sound, and that is, I really haven't learned anything other that I didn't already know, but I've been reminded to exercise more discipline in my life, you know, when it comes to my thought life. It really comes down to discipline, where you have to just, well, discipline yourself to not take a second look or a second listen. I can't control everything that I see. Can you? No. You can't control everything you see. And there's a reason that God said what he said, and we'll get to that. You can't control everything you hear. You just can't. But you can control what you do after you hear it. Yeah, I like this. I was just sitting at my desk today, and I thought about this. I thought, you know, I can't control everything I hear, but I can control every action that I take after I hear it. I'm in control of that. And so I don't want to come to you with some helpless victim mentality that, well, you know what, we live in a sin-cursed world and we're just bombarded with all of this stuff and you know, that mentality of I can't help it. And, you know, that is not so. It's just not. I can help it, and you can help it, and God will help you, and God will help me as we discipline ourselves to think right. So I want to talk to you about that. Now, I want to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to do just a little bit of review to bring you to a final thought on the ministry of your thought life. The ministry of your thought life. All right, let's pray. Father, help me to deliver what I have received from you. Help us to receive from your word what you have for us tonight. Help us in this matter of our thought life. God, we just pray you would speak to our hearts and make it real to us. Help us to understand the depth of this subject, the seriousness of this matter. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our understanding to your word, and help us to be obedient to the ministry of your word and the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm just going to read again verses 23 through 27. Very familiar passages. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so, if you'll recall, the first thing that we talked about was the majesty of the thought life. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. See, the thought life doesn't have to be all negative. There is just some great things that can happen when God is in control, and when we allow him, when we yield ourselves to God, that our thought life would be his. We would yield ourselves. We would think on good things. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about thinking on whatsoever things are lovely and just and pure and of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so the scripture says a lot to us about we ought to think properly. And as we think properly, well, there's a power in that, because we will become what we think eventually. Remember the saying, you know, an attitude will form an action, and an action will determine an achievement. And so the old timers had a saying, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow character, reap a destiny. And it's just so. We become what we think eventually. The Bible teaches it. Look at it right here in verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Why should we do that? Because out of it are the issues of life. You know, your life is going to consist of the things that you constantly think on, the things that you are dwelling on and that you're thinking on and that you're pondering. And so be cautious. Keep. And I'm not going to go back into it. It just simply means guard it. Put a watchman. Be careful what you allow into your ear and your eye gate. I ask a question. Is my thought life, is your thought life, is it a cesspool or a sanctuary? And only you can answer that. Okay, only you can answer that. And you are in control of that. And I want you to really understand that. You're not some helpless victim. I think it was Martin Luther. I'm not sure. But he's the first person that I heard credited for this. And the saying is that I cannot keep fowl from flying over my head, but I can keep them from nesting in my hair. And that's true. Listen, we're all the same when it comes to this. Sometimes I have thoughts and I wonder, where in the world does crazy stuff come from? You ever have a thought like that? You know, I mean, you just say, where'd that come from? And it's just a crazy thought. And you know, I can't prevent those thoughts from being there, but I can prevent my next action. Am I going to dwell on that? Am I going to develop that? And so that's where discipline and a yielding and a transforming of our mind comes in. And that's why we're being told here, we're being admonished, keep thy heart. I hope you remember that principle that we talked about, that first mentioned principle in Genesis. Remember how the heart, we developed what the heart is in the scripture. The heart, and I don't want you to forget this, because we're going to move from this week, and we're going to start another thought about the heart, because the Bible says this, a merry heart doeth good. Like a medicine. And so it's the same word. You can look it up. It's the exact same word in your concordance. It's the word heart there. Same word. It's the intellect. It's a form of intelligence. It's part of who we are. It's not only intellect, but it's our emotional makeup. It's the seat of our life. It's who we are. And so God deals with the heart, right? And that's why he said you keep it. As a matter of fact, we talked about this. When God gets ready to deal with man, he doesn't deal with him physically. He deals with his heart through repentance. There must be repentance. If God's going to get my heart, it has to start with an act of repentance. And we talked about in Proverbs 23, I hope you wrote that verse down, Proverbs 23:7, he said, give me thy heart. God wants the heart of man. Now, once God gets the heart, then God gets you. And then it's our decision to present our bodies. He has commanded us to do that. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that our minds that comes with that could be transformed, you see. And that's what it takes. God changes the perspective of our thinking. Now, let me tell you something about how this works. The devil works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. The devil works on the flesh. He just puts all kinds of things that appeals to the flesh. And God is going straight for the heart. That's the center. That is the seat of man's moral compass. And so I pray that you would keep that in mind. So that's the majesty of the thought life. Now, then there's the mastery of it. You're in control. I'm in control. Right? I'm in control of that. Now, I can't always control everything that comes in, but as I said, I can control what I'm going to do with it once it pops up in my eyesight. Listen, there is a difference. I want you to notice, and I'll get to this in greater detail in just a moment. Look at verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Let's just back up to verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth. You see that? Now, that is your action. That is my action. I am the subject there. You are the subject there. You put away. You put it away. You're in control. You put away a froward mouth. You in verse number 25, you let thine eyes look right on, right? Don't let your eyes wander. There's a difference between a look of pleasure and lust and a look of admiration and reverence. It doesn't necessarily always have to be in a sensual or sexual way. Some people just need to quit looking at chocolate cake. Say amen right there. Amen. Some of you got offended at me, but I'll put myself in that category for to make you feel better. Sometimes we just don't need to take a second look. I don't like it when some people know that I like Snickers bars. Okay, I'm going right now to make a statement, and I may be sorry for this in a short period of time. Please don't give me any more Snickers bars. Now, I'll probably live to regret that, but I'm trying to cut sugar out of my life. I just am. I don't need it. It's not good for me. And you say, well, I love sugar. Well, now, that's a decision you have to make. But I'm trying to put it out of my life, and I'm telling you right now, it is a struggle. All right? When you've done sugar, as long as I've done sugar, it sounds like an addict, doesn't it? When you've done the white stuff, as long as I've done the white stuff, it's difficult. Well, there's just things that we need to take charge of. We just need to possess our vessel. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 4? Possess your vessel. Just take charge of you, right? Don't let your vessel possess you and guide you. You take charge. That's the disciplined life. Listen, Paul said, I buffet my body. And I know I've heard all the jokes. Well, Paul said, I buffet my body. I just take in everything I can get. Well, you need an English course. Amen. I wish buffet and buffet wasn't even spelled the same way. We need to exercise some discipline. Here's what I'm saying tonight. All right, now God is our helper, but God's not going to make me do anything. Amen. God, you say, well, I wish God would make me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You better praise God we are people of a free moral choice. I praise God for choice, don't you? I do. Listen, I champion the fact that God made me an instrument of choice. And now the choice is mine. Help me to choose wisely, Lord. Actually, that's the way this proverb ends. Look, if you would, at verse 26. You see that word ponder? There's a choice there. Think it through. That's what pondering is. Think it over. Act wisely. Don't just make a haste decision and act foolish in this, because this thing of our thought life is really, really important. And so he said, son, ponder this, because your feet's going to go where your ears and your eyes carry you. That's what he says, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So there's the majesty. Then there is the mastery of the thought life. You have to take charge of your thought life. You have to discipline yourself. You see what I'm saying? You have to say, I am going to be very cautious about what I allow in my ear gate. I'm going to be very protective about what I allow in my eye gate. I'm going to be very cautious about the environment that I place myself in. And even when at our best, we just lived in a fallen world, and we're just a fallen people. And again, I am giving no one an out through this victim mentality. I am saying that we need to take charge here and do the right thing for the glory of God. Amen. Because you're going to be the type of Christian that you think. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want you to turn there just for a moment. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 12. This is what Jesus said about it. In Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 34, Jesus said, what's on the inside is going to come out. He said in verse number 34, he's speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees, and he says in the latter part of that, he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in your heart is going to come out. He elaborated some of that over in chapter 15 of Matthew. Turn there, if you would, chapter 15. And he said, and I'll just read a little of this in verses. Look in chapter 15 of Matthew. Let's begin our reading in verse number 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. You know, the Pharisees, when you read this passage, you'll see where they were all upset over some ceremonial laws that they had come up with about, you know, washing their hands and allowing the water to drip so far and so at a certain pace. And the Lord said, you've got this thing all mixed up. You're trying to work from the outside in. You need to start on the inside. You need to start with the heart. You need to start with the way you think, your perspective, because that's what's going to determine who you are. All right? Now let's go back to Proverbs 4. So we have the majesty of the thought life, the mastery. You have to take charge. Well, how am I going to do that? What's that look like? Well, notice if you would, are you in chapter 4 of Proverbs? Notice if you would in verse number 20, would you? Proverbs 4, look at verse number 20 there in Proverbs 4. It says this, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And then he gets into that section that we read. Listen to your godly counselors. Hide God's word in your heart. Spend time in God's word. Because what we put in, brethren, that's what is going to come out. You know, when I was growing up, my grandmother had an old well. She did not have running water in her house. And she had to go out every day, or I say she, we had to go out when we were there every day. And if you know the old well, they had this old pail bucket, it had a pulley with a rope, and you just kind of chunk the, you know, had a little dipper spoon in it, and you take the bucket and take the dipper spoon out, and you take the bucket and you let it go. You could hear it hit the bottom. And then it would fill up, and then you'd pull it up. And she had a saying, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. Can I tell you, that's exactly what's going on in your life and mine. What's in the well comes up in the bucket. What's in your heart is going to come up and come out of your mouth. You say, well, I'm angry. It's because you're angry in your heart. There's something not right. I'm jealous. It's because you're jealous in your heart. I use foul language. My lips are perverse. It's because your heart is perverse. And we'll get to that in just a moment. And so he says here, he says, son, get what's good inside of you, and therefore good will come out of you. You will do right when you think right. All right? Now, I want to move to the final thought here, and that is the ministry of the thought life. I wrote this down. God desires to minister through you and to you in your thought life. How is your thought life? When you hear something, do you automatically go into negative mode, criticize mode, condemnation mode? When you see something, do you automatically go into judgment mode or sensual mode? How is your thought life working? Does your thought life work more in line with the flesh or more in line with the spirit? What about my thought life? How is our thought life working? It's a training. It's an intentional, purposeful discipline. You know, when I first got saved, it really bothered me that I would have some of the thoughts that I would have. I actually thought, well, maybe I'm not saved. is I had so much garbage in me. So much. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And it took me a while, and I'm thankful that God's put a man in my life and for Sharon and I and guide us to memorizing Scripture. And I started putting good things in the well. And good things started coming out of the bucket. I'm thankful to God for that. I'm not saying that I don't struggle here. I do from time to time. But I'm thankful that someone showed me how I could change my perspective in life. How about you? What are you doing to help your thought life? Well, I'm just I'm lending a deaf ear and a blind eye, preacher. Well, now, wait a minute. I think it's going to take a little bit more than that, though that I wouldn't be opposed to that. And so I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen real careful. Notice what he does here, and this is where we'll close tonight. Don't miss this, please. Here's the solution now. We've talked about it, and I've done my very best to try to lay it out to you about, hey, this God's talking about our thought life. When he says heart, he's talking about our emotions. He's speaking about our will, the desires that we have. And so what we think, it will eventually determine who we are and what we become. And now I want to tell you from the Bible, right here it is, how you, how I, how we can get this thing on course. Notice what he says. He said in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. And he said, the reason I want you to do this, because out of it are the issues of life. This is the source now. The source of life, that word issue, you look it up. Exactly what it means. The source of your life is going to be determined by the contents of your thoughts. That's exactly what he's saying. So what can I do to make sure that the contents of my thoughts are proper? He said, well, let me give you some insight, son. This is a father under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit talking to his son. I want to help you to grow up with a right thought life, son, because I realize you're eventually going to be the kind of man you're going to be is going to be determined by the kind of thought life you develop. And so he said in verse number 24, he said, the first thing I want you to do, he said, if you have the right kind of thought life, you will govern your lips. Now listen to me. This is what he said. He said, you will govern your lips. He said in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. Now, we don't use that word froward much. Actually, if you'll listen to people when they're reading, they'll read that word forward. And it's not forward. It's froward. Put away from thee a froward mouth. And then he said in the next verse, he talked about perverse lips. And perverse lips put far from thee. Take some action. Now, is he saying, you don't do this, or you don't get in the company of those who do? Is he saying, you put these people that speak this away from you? Well, I think that's what he's saying. I don't think that it would hurt to interpret it either way. I actually think they go together. Because I think we are influenced by those things that we hear so greatly that if we're hearing perverse and profane things, they will find their way in, and eventually what's in the bottom of the well is going to rise up in the bucket. And we'll find ourselves thinking about those words that are vain and profane and perverse. Now, the word perverse, I looked it up. Let's look at the word froward first. Froward means distorted. It means false. So he said, you don't want to put away, you don't want around you, or you don't want to be speaking things that are distorted, that are false. And he said, not only that, but he used the word in verse 24, perverse. And there is a perversity in a froward mouth, but the word perverse itself means twisted. You've heard of pervert. And that's where the word perverse and pervert have the same root. It means twisted. And so he said, you put that stuff away from you. You put, whether it be through programming, whether it be through some type of music, whether it be through some type of media, whether it be through some type of individual, you put that stuff away from you because it will affect you. Oh, no, wait a minute now. Whoa, wait, hold it, preacher. That stuff won't affect me. Well, I think I've given you the illustration of the multi-millions of dollars that is spent during Super Bowl week, but other big events, because of the way that just a 30-second ad will bring in hundreds of thousands, if not multiple millions of dollars of revenue. And they're willing to pay it. You know why? Because you are affected by what you hear, and we are affected by what we see. And they know it. The studies have been done. All right? Please listen to me. The studies are conclusive now. We are affected by the things we see and the things we hear. And so that's why we need to hear and see good, wholesome, decent things and not perverted, forward, profane things. All right? And so he said in verse 24, guard your lips now. Guard your heart. Don't let just anybody in that circle that's going to just spew out garbage and filth in your hearing. And certainly don't voluntarily do it. Sometimes you can't help to overhear. People have become so perverse in our society, haven't they? I mean, there was a day. Listen, when I was growing up, I remember the man I worked for. If someone in that place, in that restaurant where I worked, if they used an unclean word, this was an old Navy guy, and you say, well, Navy guys ain't too much. Well, you didn't know this guy. He didn't put up with nonsense. And he'd tell them, hey, you watch your language. There's ladies in the house. There's children in here. He didn't put up with that foolishness. And now we've come to the place to where not only we put up with it, we seem to be okay with it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. No respect, no regard for ladies, for children, no decency. And so he said, you put that stuff away from you. Is that what he said? You have a choice. Don't welcome it. You can't always control, but what you can control, do control. Amen? Number two, he said not only the forwardness of the mouth, the perverseness, but he said, guard your sight. He said, govern the speech, but guard your sight. You see this? Look at verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't let your eyes wander. Don't have a wandering eye. Don't turn around. Don't take a second look. When you look this up, that's exactly what it's saying. I would encourage you to do that. Don't look for pleasure. There's certainly nothing wrong with admiration. There's a difference between a look and a gaze, too. And so he said, don't go there. I can't help it. Well, now, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Sure you can. And not only can you help it, God has called upon us to help it. Do something about it. You know what Lamentations 3:51 says? You do. You probably just don't know the reference. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Do you believe that? I do. I've had it happen on more than one occasion. When I went to Peru, I'm here to tell you, mine eye affected my heart. And there's been many, many occasions in a positive way that mine eye affected my heart. But there's also been some ways that are negative that mine eye affected my heart. Can I tell you, my ears do too. But I want to turn that around before I close here tonight. And I please hear this. I don't think I'm doing any harm to the scripture. God knows my heart. My heart before the Lord is sincere. I'm not trying to add or take anything. I'm trying to let you know what I believe God says. Not only does mine eye affect my heart, but my heart affects my eye. If my heart is where it needs to be, I'm not going to look the second time. I'm not going to turn around to see. I'm going to look at verse 25 one more time. I'm going to look right on. My heart is going to speak to me and say, no, you don't need to look again. Amen. If my heart is where it needs to be and it affects my eye, then I will do the right thing. But if my heart is not where it needs to be, and that's why he said, guard your heart, because your heart is what's going to be making these decisions. So it's kind of reciprocal. As you allow the wrong things in, your heart's going to do the wrong thing, and you're going to continue and continue, and it's just a vicious cycle, and it has to stop somewhere. When our hearts get right, when we discipline ourselves, when we cry out to God and say, God, I need your help. I want to be clean. Clean me. God, I yield myself to you best I know how. I want to hear the right things. I want to see the right things. I want to think the right things. God, I want to do the right things. And as God is our helper, he will help us to do that. You believe that? I do. And so he says here in verse number 24, he said, put away them lips now. And then he said, let your eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't have a wandering eye now. And then he said in verse number 25 or 26, ponder the path of thy feet. As I told you, that word ponder, it's an interesting word. It means to think it through. It means to weigh out your decision. Ponder it. What are we going to do about this? I've spent some considerable time talking to you about your thought life, talking to me from God's word. What are we going to do about it? How's your thought life? So, well, it could be better. Well, what are we doing to make it better? It's not going to just get better on its own. There has to be a course of action. And it begins with the lips, the eyes, the hearing, which will eventually affect the feet. Your feet's going to carry you. What your ears hear, what your mouth speaks, and what your eyes see. Don't let it get you in a bad place, please. Say, I can take it, preacher. Oh, my. You know, when you read this in its context, it's in a sexual way. Now, I didn't present it solely that way, but when you do read this in its context, it's talking about the whorish woman, the harlot. It is. When you read Proverbs 5, 6, 7, it's given a stern warning about sexual sin. And he said, now you be careful. You'll find yourself in a situation that'll have you in a dark place. And so I just want to encourage you now. Don't let your thought life get away from you. Okay? Don't let your thought life get away from you. Please. The last word that he gave, I was turning to this. I'll go ahead and read it in Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You think you're going to be able to think about that kind of stuff over and over and over and over and it eventually not burn you? You're playing with sin. And I got to tell you, sin is nothing to play with. If you're playing with sin, you do not understand the devastating effects of sin. Please, please, get hold of what I've taught. these last few weeks. If you're in that place to where your mind is wandering and you're just allowing yourself to think anything, anytime, any way, I'm begging you, for God's sake, for your family's sake, please, please get you some help. Let God help you. All right? Now, He will. He will. But you have to confess, God, I need your help. I acknowledge I'm weak. I need your help. And I can, and by the grace of God, I will do something about this. All right? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.